I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This administration has done a great deal from day one to remove the social justice, politically correct, and toxic ideological garbage that had infected our department, to rip out the politics. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions. No more debris. As I've said before, and we'll say again, we are done with that.
Did you not understand that word? Let me help you out. That is our Secretary of War making it clear in his speech to all the generals they summoned yesterday, and President Trump addressed as well, making it clear we are done with that DEI. It starts with an S. Spelled with an H and an I and a T. I think you know. I know you know. But he told them directly, we're done with that. And rightly so, we're not going to put up with it. Why should we? We did it under Biden. It was just fine, wasn't it? No, it was not. We had men and women promoted because of DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. But every time you come to the word inclusion, you're not going to be included if you don't fit into the proper category. I'd mentioned this before, and it always stood out to me. At a TV station here in town where I worked for many years, somebody came up with all these big posters and beautiful scenes on them of trees and mountains and desert land, everything. Beautiful, beautiful photography. And each of them had a caption below it. Dare to be brave. Celebrate life. Things of this nature. But one of them said diversity. Just the word diversity. I take it back. It did not say that one. It said inclusion. Inclusion. You know where that one was placed? All the way at the end of the hall. That's where it got placed. Oh, my God. But yesterday, when Hegseth had our military leaders in place, he made it very clear to them. And he also issued new orders. And I've got a confession I've got to make to you. I do have a confession, and I'll make it in a moment. I do want to point out that today begins Yom Kippur, the most solemn of the Jewish holidays. Many will have a 25-hour fast, renewing their pledges to God. So we wish our Jewish friends peace and healing on this Yom Kippur. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, October 1. Let me see, we got October, we got November, and then we got December, and then, oh my God, we'll be into January. Well, Larry Connors USA, every day, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., we're streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. You go to Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook. By the way, I see more and more of you are joining our Rumble feed, either watching it live or pulling it up later. If you go to it right now while we're on the air with you, you're watching live. But we do put everything up later as a podcast for you at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, and any other platform you want to go to. We don't tell you where to go or how to do it. You do it the way you want. And also reminding you, if you have a cell phone, I know you do, you've got us in your pocket. You've got News Talk STL right there in your pocket. All you have to do is download our free app, News Talk STL app, And when you do that, you get it for free. It's on your phone. You can listen from anywhere, anywhere in the world. And when you open it up and you push start, whatever program we have on the air right then would be on your phone. That would be Larry Connors USA right now. Lucky you. And the really smart thing to do is to take that phone with the app on it and put it in your car. And then rather than, and we got two great FM signals, but sometimes weather issues, other issues, this is a digital signal on our app. You can play it through the Bluetooth in your phone, getting uninterrupted, very clear digital signal. That's the way I listen. Hear it right to the speaker, just like you had tuned to the station. 101.9, 94.1, we got great signals. But sometimes you get an area where you can't, or if you're like my daughter living in Florida, she can't hear these signals from down there, but she's got the app on her phone. And when you do that, let others know about it. And again, I want to thank those of you who have been picking up on the Rumble feed. I do appreciate you following. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, every program, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. I promise you will leave this hour with more information than you have right now. That's my promise to you. Hold me to it. Coming up later in this hour, Mitchell Silk. You know who that is? He was in the Trump first administration. International negotiator dealing with China. And he's got some very poignant points as to how we are dealing with China now, then, and where we're going with them. Involves trade, tariffs, things of that nature. Mitchell Silk coming up later. Now, back to Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of War.
Today, at my direction, each service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only. This is not about preventing women from serving. We very much value the impact of female troops. Our female officers and NCOs are the absolute best in the world. But when it comes to any job that requires physical power to perform in combat, those physical standards must be high and gender neutral. If women can make it, excellent. If not, it is what it is. If that means no women qualify for some combat jobs, so be it. That is not the intent, but it could be the result. So be it. It will also mean that weak men won't qualify because we're not playing games.
Mm-hmm. So here comes my admission. There was a time, just as recent as yesterday, I was strong as a bull. By God, nobody could stop me. I could walk through a brick wall. Yeah, maybe not. But, obviously, decades ago, I was very fit and proper in my carry and my build and my ability. I mean, I rode bulls when I was young. I jumped out of planes during the Marines. I did other things. I mean, I was hump up and down mountains all day long, never tire out. I could pass any PT test they wanted to give me on any day. But I have to admit to you now, if I'd known I was going to be in this shape at this age, I would have taken better care of myself back then. Because I did some things that were kind of stupid. But I know I withdraw that word. I know I could not pass the current PT test that these men and women in the military need to pass. And as Hegseth said, we are going to base it upon a male standard. This is not to cut women out. But I don't want to hear, like I heard one congresswoman the other day and said, well, you're trying to go after women because they maybe can't do a pull-up. Well, then they don't deserve to be in the military. I know a young woman that she almost can deadlift 300 pounds. I don't think I could do that. But there are women that could. There are men who can't, so you're not going to be included either. And the thing that happens, this is true, with not only the military but our police, and I'm not trying to chastise some of my fellow officers that I love. I say fellow, I mean I'm not an officer, but you know you're not as strong and stout as you were in the beginning. And your girth might have been a few donuts bigger now. And can you do can you do 25 push-ups? Now, that I can still do. There's some other things I can do, but there's a limit. Pull-ups are one of them that I just have lost that ability. I had not trained and stayed on top of it. And Hegseth says, wherever you are in our military, whatever your rank, you have to understand that twice a year you're going to be tested.
But today, at my direction, every member of the joint force at every rank is required to take a PT test twice a year, as well as meet height and weight requirements twice a year, every year of service. Also today, at my direction, every warrior across our joint force is required to do PT every duty day. Should be common sense. I mean, most units do that already, but we're codifying it. And we're not talking like hot yoga and stretching. Real hard PT, either as a unit or as an individual. At every level, from the Joint Chiefs to everyone in this room to the youngest private, leaders set the standard. And so many of you do this already. Active, guard, and reserve.
I love it. I love it. Now, when I was in the Marines and boot camp, I remember we had a long march. I forgot how long it was, but we had a full backpack, everything else, all the gear. We did not carry as much gear as they do now. I'll be the first to admit it. But I think a lot of the equipment has been modified where it's lighter, built of lighter material. But the bottom line is we had a time frame to make that march. I remember being called out of the ranks to go to the front and set up an ambush position. So I run ahead of the troops. We're on a forced march. I run ahead of them. And I sit down in some bushes and walk by, I go bang, 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 bang. I just make the words bang, like I'm ambushing them. And then when they all get past me, well, then they call me out and say, all right, go join the troops. Well, now I got to catch up. You start at the end of a walking line that's walking fast. They're walking up front. At the end, you're running your butt off. So I'm glad to see him bringing that back. In the meantime, we've got a crisis in our government. Chuckie Schumer, you're to blame.
So we see now Republicans are plunging America into a shutdown, rejecting bipartisan talks, pushing a partisan bill, and risking America's health care, worst of all. A few moments ago, Republicans once again rejected Democrats' proposals to avoid a shutdown, fix healthcare premiums, and spare Americans the calamity of skyrocketing through the roof healthcare costs. Republicans blocked it again, once again.
They blocked it again. The latest numbers I've seen for the shutdown that Schumer wants, that he's carrying out right now, is costing our government $1.5 trillion. They want to add more money. They want it for transition surgery. They want you to be paying for public broadcasting. We have a clean bill without that crap in it. He wants it back in there, and he says, this is wrong. He is trying to play the left. He's trying to make friends with the left because he's worried what's going to happen to him because he figures he's going to be primaried by AOC. And he had three members of his own party walk away and say, no, we're going to go with the Republicans because we think that's the right thing to do. They needed 60 votes. They got 55. One of those 55, Missouri Senator Schmidt.
Okay, I just walked out of the Senate chamber and voted yes to fund the government for another several weeks so we can work on appropriations bills. This should not be a partisan thing. But what's happening right now is Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are following the lead of the radicalized leftist interest groups that want to shut down the government just to oppose anything that President Trump might be for. It's ridiculous, but it's kind of where we're at right now. So the Democrat plan was to add $1.4 trillion worth of spending, reverse all the rescissions, and fund health care for illegal immigrants. We voted no on that. We voted yes on a clean CR to make sure we fund the government. The Democrats, unfortunately, are going to vote no.
Yep, they did. And so we're in, quote, a shutdown. Now, everybody that's furloughed at this point, they will get their back pay unless they get fired. Because Trump made it very clear, if you shut the government down, we will start cutting employees, mass firings, shutting down departments entirely. We don't need them, we'll cut them. Be a perfect opportunity. And Chuck, you started this. Wyoming Senator Barrasso.
Well, the radical wing of the Democrat Party demanded that Chuck Schumer shut down the government, and he did that today. What that radical wing had told him to do was work with them through his war room. He had a war room going for the last 8 weeks to orchestrate the shutdown. But the cracks in the Democrats are already showing. When we had a vote on our proposal to keep the government open, the clean CR, right before the recess, we had one Democrat vote. Tonight, we had three. So the cracks are beginning to show there is bipartisan support for keeping the government open in spite of the fact that Chuck Schumer is forcing a government shutdown, regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequences to the American people. This truly is a Democrat-owned, Chuck Schumer-owned shutdown. There's no negotiation. It's a shakedown when he asks for $1 trillion for 4 weeks. It's absurd.
Yeah. That's what it would be, $1 trillion or $1.5 trillion. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
We're going to have a shutdown because Senator Schumer and the Democrats want one. It will be further evidence that human evolution is a slow process. There's no reason for the shutdown. What we've asked Senator Schumer and his colleagues to approve is what we've approved 15, 20 times. But they want to shut down because the loon wing of the Democratic Party is mad at Chuck, and Chuck wants them to love him, so we're going to have a shutdown.
Yeah, and he might be primaried by AOC, so he's trying to build support on the left. That's not where you're going to get your support, Chucky. Coming up, the man who is negotiating trade deals with China directly on behalf of the Trump administration. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name, because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John, Bill, and I were talking. You said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times
this is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, as you well know, the federal courts want to challenge all the tariff efforts by Trump, his authority to do so. Supreme Court set to decide some of this that might be a precedent. There's a man that is deeply and had been deeply involved in the first Trump administration, Mitchell Silk. He was the Assistant Secretary for International Markets during Trump's first term. Welcome aboard, Mitchell.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Now, you actually sat across from the Chinese as they were dealing with tariffs in that first administration. Give me some background on that.
Well, it was an interesting run, Larry. The president in Trump 45 inherited a bunch of really significant challenges to our economy and to our labor force. China, mainly through predatory practices in trade, technology, and finance. He inherited over $350 billion trade deficit with China, really rampant intellectual property theft, subsidized export credits, and a bunch of non-tariff barriers that wouldn't allow our financial institutions and corporates to penetrate the Chinese market. And the president immediately formed a task force, put together some very solid positions, and we sat across the Chinese for well over a year and a half until we delivered the 2020 Phase One trade agreement that sought to reduce the trade deficit and stem all of these other predatory practices. It was a long, drawn out series of negotiations. We sat firm, we maintained the high ground, and we delivered results through the Phase One trade agreement. That, of course, was interrupted by COVID. And the president at the beginning of his present term, 47, has really come out of the corner very aggressively. He's been disruptive. He's been very highly focused on results, much faster than Trump 45 and far more strategic. In getting all of the countries throughout the world that had trade superiority with us to the table. He settled around 10-plus agreements with countries like Japan, the EU, South Korea, Indonesia, Philippines, and Vietnam that comprise about 67% of the trade deficit that he inherited in January of 2025, which was at $1.2 trillion. So by containing about 70%, countries that represent 70% of the trade deficit, that's allowed him and the great team that we have looking after our interests to really focus on the big issue left on the table, which is China, which represents over 20% of that looming trade deficit.
Let's break some of this down. You're listening to Mitchell Silk. He has a book that just came out the 16th of last month, A Seat at the Table, dealing with faith-based America and first governance. I do want to get into that shortly, but dealing with China, if their lips were moving, were they telling you the truth or what?
Different degrees of truth, Larry. I think everybody probably wants to believe that
Confucius
everything
says.
Coming out of I got some doozy Confucius says for you, but I think we're on public line, so we'll save a few of those for our personal meeting.
No, we'll take it. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. I would say that in the short time that we have, I break it down to two big challenges. One was, a propensity to obfuscate issues, to basically try as much as they could to blur the issues where they didn't have a strong position, and also to slow roll policy, slow roll process.
Right.
Where things weren't going for them. And our simple approach was we had a firm, very detailed, concrete set of positions that we sought to bring home for the country and for our workers. We sat at the table day after day after day after day, hour after hour, and we stayed the course and we maintained the high ground. And that's the simple part of it.
You know, the praise goes often to Trump that he's a great negotiator in trade. Now, how much of his direction was going into what you were doing, or at least his final approval had to be there?
The president was actively involved. There were daily reports when we were at the table in China. There were daily reports, if not more than daily reports, when the negotiations were in Washington. They took place either at the Treasury Department or at the USTR's building, both of which are on the White House compound.
So while you're going through this, what were you think the biggest issues, not a language differences, but simply an ultimate goal, because the Chinese communists, they want to rule the world.
Well, when you break it down to its core essence, Larry, it's all about interest. No matter which way folks want to cut their position and how they're communicating their position, the Chinese did not want to cede their national interest. They didn't want to cede their position.
You're talking about cede as C-E-D-E, giving up their position.
Exactly. So in other words, let's break the trade deficit down to its most simplest terms. We wanted them to buy more from us and sell less to us. Okay. So the only way that you can get at the $300 or $400 or $500 billion trade deficit is for them to buy more U.S. goods and U.S. services and for us to buy less. So when we were at the table pushing them to purchase some of our great agricultural products or some of our great other U.S. manufactured products or goods or services, there would be pushback. Our position was simply that we weren't having it.
So what about American companies based in, well, maybe based here, but operating out of China? How were they being affected at that point?
Well, let's look at matters today. I mean, there's been a very, very significant exit of foreign investors in China. A lot of them have offshored into neighboring Southeastern Asian countries. Many of them have come back to the United States. When we were at the table in 2018, 2019, 2020, I saw our guys, our banks and financial institutions, I mean, that was one key area for me, were buoyant because they finally saw that we were achieving movement. Okay. And so it was a rather, I think, a good and encouraging time. Unfortunately, with COVID and the continuation of trade and investment friction, I think that we're at basically an all-time low right now with our and other non-Chinese investors and financial institutions in China.
Michael Silk, you are a Jew, and of course, we're in the midst of Yom Kippur beginning. We wish you peace and healing during this time. But you did something as an Orthodox Jew regarding some of the Chinese negotiators and showing faith versus communism. What did you do exactly?
But really simple, Larry. Our sources, as do almost all of the sources in the Judeo-Christian background, focus on maintaining the high ground and particularly the high moral ground. And so, as I said a little bit earlier, breaking it down to its core essence, we stood our ground. And when there was anything less than the truth that was coming across, our negotiators, including myself, I remember watching then the deputy U.S. Trade Representative Jeff Garris sit at the table firmly, not move, not flinch, no matter what was coming back in responses. So if I had to say it in the most simplest terms, I would just come back to the basics of maintaining the high ground and particularly the moral ground and accept nothing less than the truth.
And is it correct that you invited them to your Brooklyn home for a Shabbat dinner, saying you can have as many chairs at my table as you want?
Simple answer, yes. That's conflating a couple of stories. But, you know, the title of my book, Larry, is A Seat at the Table. And there are many different dimensions of what I'm trying to get across with that title. The key one is that POTUS, President Trump, has really secured a seat at the table through principled firm policy, putting the U.S. interests first. But at the personal level, what I really tried to do was achieve through dinner diplomacy, right, to further our interests by inviting friends from foreign countries and counterparts and adversaries over to my home for a home-cooked meal. And I got a lot more done over the dinner table than I did at the negotiation table. It's always, in my view, about the personal touch.
And in the last 30 seconds, you believe the Chinese started negotiating in good or at least better faith after that invitation?
We had a much firmer personal basis on which we could get business done. And certainly at the beginning of this term, Trump 47, I'm wholly confident that the Chinese very firmly understood what the president's position was. And okay, so when they came back to the table now, they knew that they were going to be having a very radical, different approach than what they had seen during the Biden administration.
Mitchell Silk, we again wish you Yom Kippur, a peaceful and healing Yom Kippur. And thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Larry, for having me.
You bet. Coming up, the Mideast and dealing with Hamas, new developments.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. Listen up, the offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, Renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain Plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Trump laid out the timeline for Hamas to accept or reject the plan.
We're going
to
do about 3 or 4 days. We'll see how it is. All of the Arab countries are signed up. The Muslim countries are all signed up. Israel's all signed up. We're just waiting for Hamas. And Hamas is either going to be doing it or not. And if it's not, it's going to be a very sad end.
He told reporters there's little room for more negotiations.
Not much. You know, with Hamas, we want very simple. We want the hostages back immediately, and we want some good behavior. And, you know, it's pretty simple. You don't get simpler. Think of it. We've signed every country in the Middle East. This was like an impossible thing. It's never been done before. This is more than Gaza. Gaza was big stuff. But this is Gaza is a piece of it.
In Jerusalem, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu met with members of his government.
In Washington, I agreed with President Trump on a plan for the release of all our hostages and the achievement of all the war goals we set. I will provide a more detailed report to both the members of the government and the members of the cabinet.
In Doha, the Qatari government is meeting with Hamas.
Regarding ending the war and bringing aid in, of course, the first step now is reaching consensus on this plan with all parties. The Israeli side had initially expressed approval on the plan based on what had been agreed upon. But now, as we said, we are in the stage of consultations with the negotiating delegation of Hamas.
What does that mean? Stalemate. They're not doing a damn thing. Trump has made it very clear. To quote him again, he said, Hamas is either going to be doing it, accepting this peace proposal, or it's not. And if it's not, it's going to be a sad end. He made that statement Monday, the same day that Netanyahu promised, quote, Israel will finish the job. And Trump had said the following day, Israel, you might need to go ahead and do what you have to do. So the response from Hamas at last report, according to The Hill, the Palestinian militant group said, we're going to need more time. There we go. Stall. Run the clock out. We're going to need more time to study Trump's proposal to end the war in Gaza. We need to consult allies before we issue a report. This is a 20-point plan outlined by President Trump and the Israeli prime minister. And it got quick support from many Arab and world and Muslim world leaders. That puts pressure on Hamas. Commit, follow through with a deal to end this nearly 2-year conflict. Now, if it's accepted, Trump would basically head, title only probably, but would have a position, a board of peace to oversee the post-war transition and Gaza reconstruction. And Israel would begin to pull out its military in phases. For Hamas, the group needs to commit to laying down all arms, give up control of the Gaza Strip. Again, negotiators in Qatar and Egypt sent Hamas that proposal, after Netanyahu said he supported it. And Trump said, I'm giving Netanyahu my full backing to finish a job of destroying Hamas, but I hope we're going to have a deal for peace. And if Hamas rejects the deal, which is always possible, as you know, Bibi, you'd have our full backing to do what you have to do. The leadership of Hamas has been decimated. We pointed that out yesterday. They're basically left with a bunch of teenagers and some younger men. They have not been in control long because every time somebody gets promoted to higher rank, a drone finds them. Okay, recalculate. Who's next in line? Oh, you hiding behind the curtain? No, you're next. I don't want to be. Yeah, you're going to do it until the drone finds you. They have to know and recognize, even in Palestine, the Palestinians are against them because they've been holding them hostage and using them as human shields. At what point do you say, enough of that? I don't want my baby and my children and my wife and my family put in front of an Israeli tank gun just so you can hide behind them. That's what they've been doing. That is a clear fact. So we have the Pakistani, the Indonesian, the Egyptian, Jordanian, Turkish, Saudi, and Qatari foreign ministers all saying we back this plan as it creates a road for a, quote, Palestinian state and unifies Gaza and the West Bank and stops Israel annexing any of that territory. They do acknowledge this is a a work in progress. But they add their readiness to engage positively and constructively with the U.S. in finalizing the agreement, ensuring the implementation in a manner that ensures peace, security, stability for the peoples of the region. You know, the fact that we got this close to bringing an end to it. Trump should have got the Nobel Peace Prize long before now anyway, but this certainly would solidify it. And what did Obama do, by the way, to win his Nobel Peace Prize? He was in office 8 months. They gave it to him. I'm going to be very direct with you. You're not going to like some of it. You're not going to like it. They gave it to him because he's the first black president of the United States. No, Bill Clinton, I told you, you were not the first black president. But that's pretty much why they did it. Plus, he was on his apologetic tour, going around to all the countries, apologizing for how the U.S. had treated them and what we'd done wrong in the past, basically to protect ourselves and those allies he was speaking to. And for that, they gave him a Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize is pretty much worthless after that point, but still, if it's going to be given, it should be going to Trump. You know, earlier we were talking about in the beginning of the hour, Pete Hegseth's meeting of his all of his generals, flag officers, and so forth, and talking about how we're gonna go back to the warrior mode. If you're gonna be in our military, you must pass PT exams twice a year, as long as you're in the military. In other words, your height, your weight, your balance, you're going to have to be a perfect fighting machine. He did not say you have to be a male, but the women are going to have to meet the same standards. We're not going to do special standards. All because you're a woman, you can't do that many pull-ups. You better get to that point. And that includes men. You can't do it anymore. Put the donuts away. Get out on the treadmill or the run and start cutting those calories, maybe you will be able to. And I admit I am not capable of passing the standards that he wants for right now. There are many at my age that may well be able to do so, but I'll have to admit I'm not capable. Well, I can still handle the rifle, and I can still handle that, and I can do hand-to-hand combat if I need to, but it wouldn't. But when I do it, it's going to be over in a hurry because I'm going to get too tired if we don't end in a hurry, I promise you. So it's not going to be a, you got to follow certain rules. There are no rules. And I'm looking at a piece that Sean Fleetwood wrote for The Federalist, and he said, for the first time in a long time, service members have leaders who actually give a damn about the mission and their well-being. And he adds, America's propaganda press have wound up with egg on their faces a few many times over the past several years, and that could not be truer than when it came to military recruitment crisis that helped define Joe Biden's failed presidency. Monday, this last Monday, the AP published a report. The Associated Press published a report revealing the U.S. Marines have reached their recruiting targets for the 2025 fiscal year, with 3 months to go. This follows in the footsteps of the Army, Navy, and Air Force, all of them meeting 2025 goals ahead of schedule. But here comes, as you would expect, something they can do to try to downplay it while they had to report it. An AP reporter did try to downplay it by saying, well, the Biden-era recruiting crisis, there were, you got to look at the disaster, complications from COVID, tight job markets, a growing generation of young Americans struggling to meet fitness and academic standards. You know why? Because they don't have PT often in schools anymore. And then noted how the uptick in requirement began well before Trump won office. That's not really true. There might have been a lot more thinking that if Trump's back in, I would be willing to serve under that man. I do not want to serve under someone who abandoned Americans, not just military, but American citizens, in our evacuation in the middle of the night at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan and left the Marines, a soldier, and a medic as victims of a suicide bomber. From the very beginning, the Biden Pentagon's message to patriotic Americans was clear. You're not welcome here. That's according to the writer for The Federalist, and I agree with that. But as Hexeth said, no more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses, no more climate change worship, no more divisive distraction or gender delusions, no more debris. As I've said before and will say again, we are done with that S word, you know. In the Marines, and it's true in the other branches if they're doing what they should be doing, and I believe they are at this point, it makes no difference your race, your ethnicity, your religion, or none. You do what you're told. And it's yes, sir, no, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, if you're speaking to a superior female. Getting back to the basics. This generation we have now, if this is what we had when World War II broke out after Pearl Harbor, we'd all be speaking German or Japanese right now. But that was the greatest generation. They came from the farm towns. They came from the cities. They came in all colors and religions to say, I want to fight for my country. And they did. Granted, we still had some racial divisions. The Tuskegee Airmen, a perfect example, would not let them go into, quote, fighter combat, but they were allowed to escort bombers, which they ended up having fighter combat anyway. And they did excellent. In the meantime, we have a lot of people in our country who should not be here. Those are the illegals. And this story, as reported by a report out of Chicago, we went to extra steps to get some of these guys.
Led 300 federal officials to that apartment complex. Some even rappelled down from Blackhawks onto the rooftop in order to help secure that perimeter. Now, they were searching for suspected members of the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. Of course, TDA has been designated as a terrorist organization under the Trump administration. Now, it was the biggest show of force that we've ever seen on the ground here. We had agencies, FBI, Border Patrol, ICE, and ATF all involved here, and they were all looking for targets in that same exact building. It was a five-story building. It was a tall task for them, and anything could have gone wrong. But luckily, the operations went pretty smoothly. Preliminary reports show that about 30 illegal immigrants were arrested in this operation, some of them suspected Tren de Aragua. Now, we talked with Chief Gregory Bovino, who's running the operations on the ground for many of these ops in Chicago, and he had some words for people that are pushing back against his operations. Take a listen.
How about you live in the apartment next door to Tren de Aragua members that are trafficking in prostitution, guns, drugs, and taking advantage of American citizens in a violent way? Why don't you live next to them and then see how much of a Gestapo or a Nazi we are?
That's true. That's true. I love the idea of these Black Hawk helicopters and troops rappelling from them right onto the rooftops to take the high ground. That had to scare some of those MS-13 thugs absolutely stuffless. There's a Siena poll, New York Times Siena poll, found, no surprise here, a wide majority of Americans are rejecting the shutdown of the government and blaming the Democrats. Good for you. Good for you. And good for you listening to another edition of Larry Connors USA. We'll be back here tomorrow right at 6. Again, a well-meaning and wishful healing for our Yom Kippur observance. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.